So happy Mother's Day to all the moms in here. Happy Mother's Day to my mom and my grandma are here, so that's such a treat. And I'm so glad they're able to come for Mother's Day. And it's one of those days, it's a great day for the sentimental stuff. I mean, everybody thinks of mom. I think it's kind of funny, on Mother's Day, there's more phone calls placed than on any other day in the year. And then on Father's Day, there's more collect phone calls placed than any other day in the year. But for some reason, mothers get this extra special sentimental treatment. And, you know, if you go to the card shop and you're looking for a Mother's Day card, they've always got the flowers and the frilly things. Thor Ramsey, his comedian, talked about Mother's Day cards. And it's got the little squiggly things, you know, and it says, "To the most wonderful mother in the world." And it's got all the frilly things. And he says, you know, in reality, you know, you want to go get your mom a Mother's Day card that says something more like, "Thanks, Mom, you did your best." Because in real life, you know, we don't always get along with Mom. In real life, times with Mom are sometimes difficult. You probably done that. I mean, growing up, mothers usually have to tell us no about 500 million times. And there's sometimes when you ask the word why, the question why, over and over and over, and moms get to the point where they're just, "Because I said so, now shut up and eat your dinner," sort of thing. And we get into arguments. I mean, times with moms are not always with the frills and the sentiment and the good stuff. And I've had plenty of times when I didn't like what my mother told me to do. And usually I lost in the end, but in real life, you know, times with mom are not always perfect. Moms are not always perfect. There's some moms, not mine, and hopefully not yours, but some moms can be kind of selfish at times, or lazy, or just plain mean. I mean, there are some mothers that don't recognize the importance of their role as mom, and so it can be hard for some kids. I mean, I've seen little kids whose moms cuss at them and beat them unnecessarily. And one of the things that breaks my heart is when I'm driving on the road and I see a mom in the car smoking a cigarette and little kids, you know, where they can't get away. And it's just, you know, it's just things like that that break my heart. Then on the extreme end of things, there's moms that actually abort their children before they ever get a chance to come out and say, "I love you, Mom." Mothers who kill their kids. So there's a, you know, there's a tough part. You know, we live in a sinful world when you see the things that happen in some of those situations. But even for the good moms, even for the ones that really try their best, it's, you know, in real life, motherhood can be a messy thing. Bringing up kids, for the most part, moms, I think, are one of the greatest miracles that we get to experience in life. I mean, and for the most part, and I bet most of you can agree, I mean, they make huge sacrifices to raise their kids. It's not an easy job. And they go through difficult situations, and I thought, I was thinking about a metaphor to work for it, and I think in many ways moms are like a cotter key to society. I don't know how many of you know what a cotter key is. When you screw a bolt onto a nut, and it's like a machine that vibrates, sometimes the nut will unscrew from the vibration. You stick a cotter key through the bolt, and that keeps the nut from unscrewing. And I think in some ways moms are like that. You know, they hold, I mean, not just the family together, but on a bigger level, society together. If it wasn't for the contribution that moms make in raising their children, you know, the country, you can see it today, it's the families falling apart that caused most of the problems in the country. And so moms do a lot. They are a big deal. They educate, they instill morals, they teach, they give us social values, and I mean, through everything that they do, they share love. Through all that we go through. And so in the midst of the real life messiness, in the midst of the laundry that piles up and the shelves that go undusted and the kids with the messy faces and all the things that aren't pretty and polished in motherhood, I think they deserve all the appreciation we can give them. I mean, 100%. And I mean, you think about it, for all the times that your diaper was changed, and all the times that your cuts were bandaged. Sharon mentioned, you know, when you scrape your knee, how many times did you come to mom bleeding? I did it a lot. And they took care of you. And for all the meals that they cooked, and for all the stories they read and the love they shared, everything that your mother did for you, I think they deserve some gratitude. So, you know, it's a good time for sentimental stuff. I received an email newsletter that I get, and it's called When You Thought I Wasn't Looking. So I wanted to read that to you. It says, "When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator, and I immediately wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat, and I learned that it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake for me, and I learned that the little things can be the special things in life. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer, and I knew there is a God I could always talk to, and I learned to trust him. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make a meal and take it to a friend who was sick, and I learned that we all have to help take care of each other. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you give your time and money to help people who had nothing, and I learned that those who have something should give to those who don't. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you take care of our house and everyone in it, and I learned we have to take care of what we're given. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw how you handled your responsibilities even when you didn't feel good, and I learned that I would have to be responsible when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, and it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you cared, and I wanted to be everything that I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I learned most of life's lessons I need to know in order to be a good, productive person when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I was, and I just wanted to say thanks for all the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking." And that's true in probably, hopefully, all of our lives, isn't it? We get lots of lessons from our moms. So that's the gushy stuff. That's the nice, sentimental, emotional stuff. But I'd like to share some stark reality today. And there's nothing wrong with the good feelings. There's nothing wrong with loving mom and having sentiment and that kind of stuff. But at the same time, let's not forget the real stuff. I'd like to deal with two issues today, two real-life issues. Number one, in real life, moms have a huge responsibility. It's big, and it's not easy. So I'd like to point out some biblical pictures of that responsibility and to encourage all of you moms in what you're doing, in the job that you have. And in number two, in real life, motherhood can sometimes be a thankless job. It's sad, but it sometimes is. So I'd like to talk about the necessity for all of us in thanking our moms and showing appreciation. So I hope that I don't need to tell you that the job, the role of motherhood is a blessed undertaking. And it's a calling that asks a woman to give everything of herself. It's self-sacrifice, it's emotional commitment, it's spiritual discipline, and even physical pain sometimes that mothers give. And, of course, there are lots of books and articles and blogs and magazines and things that they talk about motherhood and experiences that moms have had, and they have devotionals and self-help books and even to-dos, to do, like things, how to do this. And the Internet is full of blogs and articles and moms. And as Jenna and I have found, there's articles and things written for people who want to become mothers. And so for anybody else that might be in the same boat for us, I found some Q&A's that I thought I might share this morning. And the first one is the question, should I have a baby after 35? The answer is no, 35 children is enough. Question, I'm 2 months pregnant now, when will my baby move? Answer, with any luck, right after he finishes college. Question, how will I know if my vomiting is morning sickness or the flu? Answer, if it's the flu, you'll get better. Question, what's the most reliable method to determine the baby's sex? Answer, childbirth. Question, my childbirth instructor says it's not pain I'll feel during labor, but pressure. Is she right? Answer, yes, in the same way that a tornado might be called an air current. Question is, when is the best time to get medicine to help with the pain of delivery? Answer, as soon as you find out that you're pregnant. And the last one, question, what is the most common pregnancy craving? Answer, for men to be the ones who get pregnant. So there's some good instructions. And I know, you know, being married to someone who wants to be a mother very badly, I know we might have all sorts of people here in different areas of motherhood today. We might have natural moms and adoptive moms and foster moms and single moms and grieving moms and grandmoms and great-grandmoms and people who are trying to become moms. And so all of you who consider yourself a mother or who are hoping to become a mother or to add to your family, I want to point out some words from the most important book on motherhood. And you know what that is. So let's talk about the big responsibility of motherhood, that number one thing. And there are three pictures or models, things that I want to talk about that come out of Scripture that no mother should be without. And one of them is the power of a mother who prays. Prayer is a thing that makes a huge difference in that role. And then number two, the impact of a mom who teaches. All moms are teachers. And number three, the reward of a mom who sacrifices, because motherhood doesn't come without sacrifice. And so the first, the picture of the power of a mom who prays. Now, if you know who Hannah is from back in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, it starts off talking about Hannah, who would become the mom of Samuel. And you can turn there if you want. Hannah prayed even before she was a mom, because she was barren. She was infertile. She wasn't having any kids. And her husband had two wives, and his other wife was having kids, and she wasn't having any. And so she would weep and cry to the Lord and pray, and they would go to the temple every year. And one year they went to the temple, and that's where the first chapter starts out. If you go down to verse 9, it says, "Once they were at Shiloh, Hannah went over to the tabernacle after supper to pray to the Lord. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance, and Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow, 'O Lord Almighty, if you will look down upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut.'" And so she was in anguish over not having kids. That was a big deal to her. And so she wept before the Lord and prayed fervently for a son and said, "If you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you, because that's how important it is to me." And her prayers were eventually answered. And she got Samuel, who this book is written about. And Samuel went on to be one of the great judges of Israel. And there's two books that are written under Samuel's name. And so it's worth praying. There's models in Scripture that say mothers should pray. People who are looking forward to becoming mothers or wishing to be mothers should pray. Jesus' mom prayed. If you want to skip ahead to the New Testament, Jesus' mom was praying before and after Jesus was born. In Luke chapter 1, this is when Mary visited Elizabeth. You want to go to Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 46. Mary, when she found out she was pregnant, went to visit Elizabeth, her cousin, who was the mother of John the Baptist, or going to become the mother of John the Baptist, and she was visited by an angel, if you remember, and Gabriel said, "You're going to have a baby, you're going to name him Jesus," and told her all the stuff that's going to happen. And how she responded is in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, "Oh, how I praise the Lord, how I rejoice in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and now generation after generation will call me blessed. For he, the Mighty One, is holy, and he has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who fear him." And I kind of like the way the New American Standard says it, more like, "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.'" So she was exclaiming her joy to God, her just how glad she was, how her praise to God for what was going on. So her pregnancy started off in prayer. And then if you skip to Acts 1:14, this is after the crucifixion. I don't know how many people have noticed this. If you remember, Jesus, you know, she got to raise him. We miss out on a lot of his childhood years. So you wonder what kind of things Jesus did and what his mother went through raising him. But I'm sure it was quite an experience. And then he goes through his whole life, and his mother has to watch her son be crucified and then come back to life. But before he comes back to life, as they're hanging around, well, no, this is after they come back to life, and he was raised up into heaven. At Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, this is after the crucifixion, It says all the disciples met together continually for prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. So Mary was praying all the time, and she had, through all the difficulties and the hardships and the struggles and all the good times and the bad, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was praying. And both of these moms, and there's other examples of mothers in the Bible who pray, and they understand that prayer is a vital part of motherhood. I mean, without it, you're going to face a whole lot of failures and you're not going to know what to do with the difficulties. And so I hope that all of you who are mothers understand that too, that your job is a whole lot harder without prayer, because you can tap into the ultimate power of God when you're trying to do the most important job of raising your children. So don't forget to have prayer in your life as a mother. It's vital. I don't think that a mother can be a good mother without prayer. I think it makes it really hard. And I'm sure a lot of you pray already. And I'm sure that my mom must have been praying as I grew up, because I'm still alive. There's a lot of things that I remember as a kid. We would, with my friends, the crazy things we would do, we would take our bicycles and ride them as fast as we could towards the monkey bars. And the trick was to grab the monkey bars as your bike was going underneath it and let go. And whoever bike went the farthest was the winner. And so we would race as hard as we could and grab the monkey bars. And that was just one of the, when we were little kids, the games that we played. I remember having rock fights. I mean, just for fun with our friends. We would go out and have rock fights and hurl stones at one another. And one time I had to bring my brother in. He had got hit right in the temple. And you know how head wounds bleed. It was just gushing blood. And so I bring my brother in. I'm crying because he's bleeding all over the place. And my mom's like, I'll take care of it. So I'm sure that she must have been praying through my childhood years, because if not, I probably wouldn't have survived them. There was when we were in California, there was a place where they were doing some excavation. We'd ride our bikes out here, and you've seen where the earth movers will build these huge man-made mountains of dirt so that they can, you know, use them in places, or it's dirt that they've dug out of holes. And this was this huge mountain, and it was plateaued on the top where the bulldozers had flattened it. And so me and another friend would get up onto the top of the plateau and run as fast as we could and jump off the edge. And the idea was, you know, the side of the hill was kind of loose dirt, was to get as far as you could away but still hit the soft dirt so you could come to a soft landing without breaking your legs. And we would do that. We would run off the edge of this cliff and aim for the dirt. And so it's amazing that I'm alive, but I attribute it to the fact that my mother was probably praying. And I can look back on my life, and I can see God chasing after me through all of it. You know, I've told you before, I was a rebellious kid, got into plenty of trouble. And through it all, in hindsight, I can see that God was never far from me. That, you know, it took me a long time before I was willing to turn around and look at him. But I know that I could see how he was taking care of me my entire life. And I attribute that to the prayer of my mom and my dad. And without that, who knows where I'd be today. I mean, I'm sure that if I wasn't dead, I'd probably be in jail or in bad shape somewhere. So I'm very thankful for the prayers that have been prayed on my behalf, an intercession for me. And so pray. Pray for your kids. It makes a big difference. So that's the first picture, is the power of a praying mom. The second picture is the impact of a mother who teaches. Proverbs chapter 1. If you go to Proverbs, the whole book is written from parent to child. If you look through the chapters, they're talking, listen to this, my son. And so that's what Proverbs is about. And the first book, or first chapter in Proverbs, if you skip down to verse 8, it says, "Listen, my child, to what your father teaches you. Don't neglect your mother's teaching. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and clothe you with honor." Now, these are obviously instructions to the child. It's written, you know, the letter to the children. But it assumes that the parents, that the mom is a teacher. It assumes that she's teaching. And we tend to delegate, these days, we delegate a lot of our teaching responsibility to the schools and to, you know, sports and to church. And, you know, we kind of hand off a lot of that teaching role. But the truth is, whether you like it or not, whether you do it proactively or not, you're teaching your children as mothers. Through everything you do, through everything you say, you're passing out lessons all the time. And your teaching will either, like Proverbs says, it will either crown your kids with grace and clothe them with honor, or it won't. So you got to think about the life that you're leading, the things that you're doing, the decisions you make, the words you use, because this, and that's the entire book of Proverbs is about this stuff. Like I mentioned, most of the book is written from father to son, but then at chapter 31, the last chapter of Proverbs, it's a lesson learned from mom, and she's telling her son how he can find a good wife, and that, you know, she can eventually become the mother of his kids. So this the last chapter is from mom. And so this book, I mean the whole book, but especially that last chapter, reveals the impact that a mother's teaching has on her kids. Because that's why it was written. You see that last chapter. He's like, this is what my mom taught me. And he's passing that lesson on to other people. So your teaching not only starts with your own children, but then it gets passed on from them to other people. And no matter what you're doing, you're teaching your kids. And then if you skip ahead to the New Testament, in Paul's letter, you can go to 2 Timothy. In that letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, he attributes Timothy's faith and his spiritual education to Timothy's mother and grandmother. At 2 Timothy, at the first chapter again, if you skip down to verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, I know that you sincerely trust the Lord, for you have the faith of your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. So mom and grandma helped to change the world through what they taught, because they taught their faith to little Timmy as he was growing up. And Timothy started off young. He became a preacher when he was a teenager because of what mom and grandma had impressed on him as a youth, and that loving God is a priority, and that teaching others about him is something that's important. And I've learned lessons from my mom and grandma in the same way. So, I mean, I probably wouldn't be standing up here if it hadn't been for my experience. And the same way with Timothy. He's another, I mean, Timothy is probably a better preacher than I am. But it was from Paul says, it's because of what your grandmother and your mother did. I can see their faith in you. Now, just in case you're thinking, fathers, you know, wait a minute, fathers are the ones that are supposed to be the spiritual leaders, the servant leaders of the household. And that's very true, but that doesn't mean that mom just sits around and twiddles her thumb all day. Because part of mom's calling that we can see in Scripture is the teaching of her children. And Timothy's faith, and my faith, and hopefully your faith too, has been at least partially due to the good teaching of mom. So remember that. We've got those two pictures now. We've got the pictures of a mom that prays, that power, and the impact of a mom who teaches. The last picture is the reward of a mother who sacrifices. To say that the role of motherhood is a sacrifice is an understatement in a lot of ways. I've heard it said that a mom spends the first 9 months after conception sacrificing, and then spends the next 18 months recovering from that sacrifice. And during those 9 months of development in the womb, the baby gets all its nutritional needs through the mom, and she has to eat enough food to feed the both of them. A lot of them say, I'm eating for two. It's probably more like eating for one point whatever. But she does need to do that, because if mom doesn't get enough food for that baby will take its nutrients from the mother's body, whatever it needs. And so amazingly, even mothers who are malnutritioned, you know, people who live in poor situations, who don't get enough food, their babies can still be born healthy. Because if the mother runs out of enough food, the baby will actually take the proteins and the nutrients from whatever reserves the mom has in her body. And so the physical sacrifice to sustain that baby's life that comes from the mother's body, that the physical sacrifice that a mother makes, it's a noble and extraordinary calling, what she does. And that's just the first 9 months and the physical parts. Moms don't get to be sick. I mean, if I get sick, I can take a day off, I can go to bed, but if a mom gets sick, she has to keep going. Her friends, her interests, her hobbies, they all come second. The children come first. And so it makes a difference that mom makes a sacrifice. When I was a little kid, I didn't want to go to school. I hated school. We moved around all the time because my dad is in the Navy, and so it was hard making friends. And I didn't want to go to school. I had a hard time at school, and I actually would fake being sick, and my mom would take me to the doctor, and he eventually got to the point where he said, listen, if he won't go to school, you call I'll call the cops to come pick him up. And so it was really difficult. And I was kind of a stubborn, rebellious kid. And what really helped me was my mom said, if it'll help, I'll get up early. And she would do this. Every morning she would come and wake me up and say, what do you want for breakfast? And I could say whatever I want, and she would go fix that. And just that little sacrifice, the first spending a little extra energy to take care of me in the morning, is what got me to be able to survive that grade. And so little things and big things that moms do to take care of us, the sacrifices that they make an impact. And moms, I think, are the key player in the ministry of raising kids. They get to spend the most time. There's been scientific studies that talk about the bond that comes between mother and child when they're really young and how important it is to make that bond. And so it's a big deal. And they are on the front lines. And moms are under a lot of stress. It's a stressful job. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the pressure that your mother is or was under in doing a good job to succeed in raising you. If I do a bad job preaching up here, you're going to be okay. I mean, if I really, you know, if I didn't spend any time in prayer, if I didn't spend any time studying to get ready for this and do any preparation, if I just got up here and just started making something up, you might be bored, you might be disappointed in what I was saying, but and after it all, you'd be okay. You'd still be alive and survive. But life would go on, but a mom doesn't have that choice because they have to, you know, they don't have the option to do a lousy job because they have to take care of those little things like food and security and safety and taking care of the children. And her kids, their very lives depend on her doing a good job. And she has to be constantly vigilant to watch after them, make sure they're safe. And mothers feel the weight of that stress. You can't have that kind of job without feeling the burden of that. And it's not just the physical life of her kids that she has to worry about, but it's the emotional well-being, it's the spiritual maturity and the success of her kids in society. I mean, there's lots of things that rest in mom's hands when she's taking care of the kids. I remember Reuters News Service once did a study to try to figure out how much a mom would earn if you took all the roles that she has, all the jobs that she does, and put them together and figure out what it's worth. And they figured that probably the work that a mother typically does is 92 hours a week. You know, most of us, we try for 40-hour week jobs, and hers is 92. And it includes things like housekeeper and cook and psychologist and bus driver. There's a whole list of jobs. And they put them all together, and they figured that if you totaled it up, it would be about $138,000 a year is what mother's job would be worth. And that sounds like a pretty good paycheck. And I'm sure there's a lot of talented moms who sacrifice that paycheck to stay home and take care of the kids because they realize how important it is. Because compared with the reward, I mean, compare the cash with the reward of a Christian mom who prays and who teaches and who makes that sacrifice, compared with the opportunity to actively participate in God's command to fill the earth with people who love Him, what amount of money would she ever trade for that opportunity? I mean, because I almost don't see it as a sacrifice that she's forced to make. I see it as a sacrifice that she chooses to make. I understand what I could do, but I'm doing something that's more important, more valuable. She could have a bunch of cash and retire early. I mean, there are some women that choose to do that instead of motherhood. Or she can trade that to fulfill God's first commandment. I don't know if you've ever realized what God's first commandment is. If you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and He had first created Adam, and then He took the rib and made Eve, and what did He tell them to do? Be fruitful and multiply. God's first commandment was to fill the earth. He wanted the parents to fill the earth with people who love him. Subdue it. And to be his servants. So moms, and this is another really cool thing, moms get to participate in the Great Commission, literally. Remember Jesus said, go and make disciples? Well, they actually make disciples. And it's one thing to share the gospel with a stranger and to see them one to the Lord and to make a difference in society, but to grow a godly family, to see your own children love the Lord and minister to others is a blessing that blows the stranger's out of the water. I mean, it's good to win a stranger, but when it's your own family, it just makes all the difference. I mean, and that's a reward. When I talked about the reward of a mother who sacrifices, that's a big reward. They get the rewards of children who love God and who serve God, and grandchildren who go on to spread the gospel to other people, and great-grandchildren who go on to raise their families in the knowledge of the Lord. So if it's done right, properly, this reward continues to give back, and it continues to expand. The results of the sacrifice grow and grow. And it's a legacy that never ends. And God's purpose was that it would cover the globe. And it's a reward that follows you to heaven. You get to see your children, your grandchildren, and who knows how many descendants. I mean, you think about Abraham, who God promised, your descendants will outnumber the sands and the stars. That Abraham and Sarah get to be in heaven and see the result of their faithfulness. And so mothers today can do the same thing. What moms do is thoroughly comprehensive. Their job and the sacrifices that they make to do it is thoroughly worth it. So with that in mind, all of you who are mothers or ladies who are looking forward to that someday, there's one word in context that I'd like for you to erase from your vocabulary today, and it's the word just. When you say, I'm just a mom, or I just want to be a mom, the Bible would never put that word together with the role of motherhood. You have a noble calling from God. God has chosen you to be a mom and to help bring new life into the world and to spread his word, to make disciples. And so we've got those three pictures, the pictures of a praying mom, the picture of a mom who teaches and a mom who makes sacrifice and the rewards from that. And that's the first part, the pictures for mothers. And now for the rest of us, if you want to go to Exodus 20, verse 12, who knows what that says without looking? Honor thy father and thy mother, absolutely. Exodus 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment, you remember the first three deal with directly with God, our relationship with God, and the fourth is probably the same thing because it talks about the Sabbath. So the first four are dealing with our relationship directly with God, and the first one that deals with our relationships with other people is with mom and dad. And it says, honor your father and mother, and then you will live a long life in the land that the Lord your God will give you. And that's a promise. And if you think about the you, it doesn't necessarily pertain to individuals, but he's talking to his people. My people will live long in the land of the Lord if you honor your father and mother. So that's something we as Christians ought to keep in mind. And that command gets repeated over and over and over. Exodus 21 verse 15 says, anyone who strikes father or mother must be put to death. God took it seriously. And then in Exodus 21:17, it says, anyone who curses father or mother must be put to death. Deuteronomy 21:18 says, suppose a man has a stubborn, rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother. Even though they discipline him, in such cases, the father and mother must take the son before the leaders of the town, and they're supposed to stone him. God took this idea of honoring your parents extremely seriously, and he said, the people who don't, you get rid of them. And I'm glad that those laws didn't pertain when I was growing up, because I would have been one of those kids. But like I mentioned earlier, motherhood is often a thankless job. They don't get a lot of thanks and appreciation. But I'd like to point out that that notion is anti-Christian. And it runs directly against what the Bible teaches. We are commanded to honor our parents. And that honoring ought to include some simple thanks. Just some plain old appreciation. So say thank you. And not just today. I mean, you can say thanks and give cards today and things like that. But you can give your gratitude all year long. On your birthday, you can send a thank you card to Mom, sort of thing. You can help out. Those of you who are still kids at home, you can help Mom out at home, what she did help with. So make it a regular habit, especially if you're still living at home. But make it a regular habit to show your appreciation to Mom and to honor her with that. Find out what would make Mom happy and do it and honor. Be creative. What can you do today and next week and all year long to show Mom how much you love her? Let's make sure as Christians, as the church, not to let motherhood be a thankless job. In real life, we do have to deal with mistakes that moms make. Some moms aren't always perfect, and sometimes they make bad choices and mistakes, and we deal with that. So what do you do in that situation where maybe your mom isn't perfect. Maybe you've had a tough relationship with your mom. Maybe you're a mom who's dealt with some hard times. What do you do in that situation? It's simple. Obey God's command. He says, honor your mother and father. Regardless, no matter what's happening. And if you do that, if you choose to obey God's command, see how God responds to your obedience through the hard times, through the difficulties, through that stuff. See how God responds when you choose to go through the difficulty and honor your parents because God commanded it. You know what else you could do to say thanks to Mom and show your appreciation? Live a good life. Show your parents that you honor them by how you respond to God. Remember the lessons your mom taught. Remember what she taught you growing up. And show by your choices and your lifestyle that you honor Mom. By what you do, by how you live. Every day, whether you still live with Mom or not, whether she's still alive or not, every day that you choose to honor God, your life demonstrates honor to Mother. If you choose not to live a good life, that shows that you dishonor Mom. So it's your choices, it's the things that you do that demonstrate whether or not you honor your mother. So what are you communicating to Mom today? How does your life show her how you feel about her and whether you honor her or not? What is your life today showing your mom? If you're living to please God today, it doesn't matter whether you're a kid or a teen or an adult. If you're living today to please God, you're honoring your mother. And they go hand in hand if you're honoring God with your life. So you can say thanks to Mom today by choosing to obey God. Proverbs 10, chapter 1. I'm just going to run through these pretty quick. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise child brings joy to a father. A foolish child brings grief to a mother. Proverbs 15:20 says, sensible children bring joy to their father. Foolish children despise their mother. Proverbs 23:25 says, so give your parents joy. May she who gave you birth be happy. So those are just more lessons from Proverbs. And then the scripture reading for today, the Italian prophet Malachi in chapter 4, it says, the Lord Almighty says, the day of judgment is coming. And then skip down a little bit, it says, remember to obey my instructions. And then he says, I'm sending you the prophet Isaiah, who will turn the hearts, his teaching will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the children to their parents. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. This relationship between parents and children is a big deal. And mothers and children who miss this miss the whole point of motherhood. Those of you who came from mothers, raise your hand if you came from a mother. Hopefully all your hands are up. Those of you who came from a mother need to realize the value of that role of motherhood, the honor that goes with it. And of course this applies to both parents. Mom and dad have to work together to accomplish the mission that God gave to parents to fill the earth with people who love him. And it's a role that we just can't ignore. So that's the first thing is, mothers, be encouraged in the job you're doing. It's an important job, and you make all the difference to the world. And number two, everybody else, including the moms who have moms, remember to honor your mom because it's a commandment. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for Mom. For our mothers and our grandmothers and all the sacrifices that they made and the things that they did to take care of us. Thank you for taking care of us through our mothers. And I pray that you would bless our moms and that you would help them to feel loved by you and loved by us and thanked because of what they do. Thank you for moms even with imperfections and real life problems that we all face. And I pray that for the mothers here that you would expand their vision of this, that you would help them to understand just how much they really mean in your process of spreading the gospel and raising generations that love God. And for the rest of us, God, help us to honor them. Help us to do a good job of saying thank you through how we live, through what we do and how we respond to you. Thank you, God, for moms. Thank you, God, for the chance to be born of moms and to feel their love. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.